Millions of women around the world struggle with infertility, and every one of them has a story to tell about the lengths to which they went to try to become mothers. The rounds of IVF, hormone shots, egg retrieval, the enormous expenses, the hopes, tears, joy, sorrow. Writer Julia Lee describes her own journey as an avalanche in a richly raw memoir. She joins us in a moment. We want to hear from you. Is this your story, too? How far will you go? Have you gone to try to have a biological child? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from Sydney, Australia, is Julia Lee, author of the new memoir, Avalanche, A Love Story. For an excerpt, you can go to our website, onpointradio.org. Julia, welcome to the program. Nice to have you.
Hi there. Great to be here.
You've been called one of the greatest living writers. Quite a compliment. This book is beautifully written. It's an intensely personal story about a very common experience that we don't talk about very often. I want you to start by describing the yearning, the desire to have a biological child.
Yes, it's good that we talk about that because I know some people might not understand why I put myself through what I did or why people enter the world of IVF. I would say that, I had a desire to have a child, which, I confess came quite late in life. I was sort of 38 when I first went with my then husband to the clinic. I had a desire to decenter, to no longer be responsible solely for myself, to be intimately involved in the care of another. And the thing is, this desire for the child to be was very strong, and I always knew that the child to be was never a real child. It was unreal, but at the same time, this unknown, unconceived, really was a strong inner presence. I sort of had a radical faith in this child to be, so I did become very attached.
You talk about your first trip to the IVF clinic being one that was full of hope. Tell us what it's like to go through the treatments, the nightly injections, the blood tests, the surgeries, the fact that it really takes over your life.
Yes, it does. And I think it's really worth mentioning that it does take over your life, and there really is a toll. There's a high physical and emotional toll as well as a financial toll. Perhaps I should just talk about what the basic process is for people who might not be familiar with it.
Sure.
So essentially, when you go into, let's say, the idea is to unnaturally stimulate your body to produce a high number of eggs. And so to do that, you go in, you have your bloods tested on day two of your period. You see if you have okay hormone levels ready to go. And then I would inject myself with an artificial hormone that had been produced in a line of recombinant DNA produced in a line of Chinese hand for ovary cells. It sounds incredibly sci-fi, but it really is happening here and now. And I would inject myself each night for, let's say, about 2 weeks. You're monitored as well daily, blood tests.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very simple way of saying it.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're trying to produce as many eggs as possible, so you feel very uncomfortable, bloated. I mean, there are many other physical side effects as well.
Mm-hmm.
The eggs are all there. Then once you get close to ovulating, you take a second needle each night, which sort of keeps all those eggs in place. Then you're scheduled for your surgery. it's very precisely sort of timed, and you have the last needle you have is a sort of, it's called a trigger shot, which is to essentially press the trigger and release the eggs. Mm. The surgery, I had my surgery, it was under a general anaesthetic, and that's the eggs are collected.
And how many times did you go through all this?
Okay, yeah, so I did, I'll say exactly what I did so anybody who's in this world will know what I'm talking about. I did something called two intrauterine inseminations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I did, actually froze my eggs. That was my first egg collection. And then none of those frozen eggs succeeded in creating a viable embryo. And then I then did five subsequent egg collections. Mm. And after each of those collections, I did a transfer of an embryo or two.
You write about this in the book, and you write about the energy that it takes to start each cycle of treatment and not even being sure what to call what you were going through. You write about this, and I'd love for you to read that part of the book here now.
To read about it? Yes. So this is a little section from, I've already failed a few cycles. I heard myself referring to my infertility when talking to my sister, a slip of the tongue. I'd never applied the term to myself before. I wasn't infertile. I was trying to get pregnant. To be infertile sounded like something already decided, finalized, irreversible. I had to drag myself back to the nurses. Dread intermingled with hope this time around. I wasn't sure I could withstand another failure. The test of IVF, I came to realize, is to do with both intensity and duration. IVF is durational in the same way a lot of people can sit at a table and stare at a stranger for 10 minutes, but very few can do it for 700 plus hours.
Mm. I'm curious what the reaction was to your family, to this decision of yours to go through these IVF treatments. At one point, I believe you were artificially inseminated with your sister's husband's sperm. Is that right?
Actually, not quite. But I did, there was a time when I did ask my sister said, why don't you use my husband's sperm, which was an incredibly generous offer on her part. And I must say that as children, never in our wildest dreams did we ever think that was the scenario of how, you know, I would fall pregnant.
And so what did your family think about all this? How was their, what was their reaction,
yeah,
their response?
Well, what actually happened with my brother-in-law was his father, when he heard about this, after we'd already started the process and he'd done the donation, etc., he was very much against it. And actually, my parents were not very supportive. It's worth mentioning that IVF, it affects not only you, the person doing it, but also your nearest and dearest, and not everybody around you will be supportive. So my parents were not very supportive. They didn't think it was a good idea. But I have two wonderful sisters, and they were very supportive.
I got a lot of calls in here, Julie. Let's get one in from Los Gatos, California. Hi, Pamela. You're on the air. Welcome.
Hi, Jane. Hi. I appreciate your time.
Yes.
Julie has made some really important points here about the emotional investment. And in most of the IVF rounds that couples go through, clinics are so focused on the organs, they forget that those organs are attached to human beings who have dreams. And I really think it's important that we spend some time talking about the need to reform how patients and clinics interact with each other. Clinics need to think about this much more holistically. And I think Julia does an amazing job in her book addressing that.
Thank you, Pamela, so much. Julia, what don't we understand about the IVF industry that we should?
Well, I think something that will surprise people is the high failure rate in that world. And just to be more specific, the best available data in the States, which comes from the Centers for Disease Control, it showed that of about 190,000 cycles, that's a lot, in the year 2013, of those cycles, only 54,000 about resulted in a delivery of a live child and a child or children. And so that's a failure rate of 72% across all ages. So that's a high failure rate. I mean, most treatment cycles fail. Yeah.
As did yours.
Yes, and mine did, yes. And so, you know, I wouldn't have written my book if I was successful, because I feel the media is saturated with these miracle success stories. But while it is very true, and I completely respect, and I'm so happy for women who were lucky, you know, and who for whom IVF was a blessing, it's just a plain fact that for many, many, many more women, IVF can be a very ruinous path.
Let's get Nancy in here from Hamburg, Iowa. Nancy, welcome to the program.
Hi, Jean.
Hi. Go ahead.
I went through IVF, it must have been about 25 years ago. My son's 25 now, but it took us about 4 years to have him, and we went through IVF time and time again. It was worth it. The pain, the emotional pain was worth it. The last cycle, my husband said, this was it. Financially, it's, expensive. And our insurance paid part. But the last time we went through, the hormones weren't right at the end. And rather than scrub the whole IVF, he said, let's do an insemination in the office with my husband. And it took. And I'm truly blessed.
Nancy, thank you for the call. Julia Lee, Nancy brings up the point about finances. It's expensive. You wrote jokingly in the book about the friend who sold her house to, quote, buy her kids. Talk about the cost associated with infertility treatments and this multi-billion dollar industry.
Yeah. I wouldn't say that myself about having to sell your house to buy your kids. That's something that somebody said to me that I found a little bit insensitive. But yes, it is. It's a big business. And I guess we have to be aware that my sense is that there is, in the industry, an uneasy marriage of commerce and medicine. I mean, this is medicine for profit in so many ways. And I think when people go into IVF as well, you're not really sure. You don't really realize what you're getting into. So you're not only offered basic IVF, you can be offered all these sort of what we call additional treatments. And unfortunately, these additional treatments are not really supported by medical evidence. Very often my doctor would suggest something and then she would say, it's up to you. It's up to you whether you want to do it. I was thinking, well, I'm not a doctor, you know. it can be very baffling and bamboozling.
And so to that point, you talk about in the book, you ask the question, where does this stop? Where does this end? How did you know you were at the end of your journey?
Yeah, well, I think that it's extremely hard to give up. And it's extremely hard to know when to give up. I have to say I was not supported by my doctor in the decision, and which is pretty surprising when you think that I was actually 43. I'd done the two IUIs. I'd done 6 egg collections. My last transfer, I did have something called a biochemical pregnancy, which essentially meant I had a positive pregnancy result on the Friday, but by Monday that result was a negative. And I'd been saying this is going to be my last cycle, you know. And that little tiny positive results did throw a spanner in the works. And my doctor said, well, why don't you give it one more try? And then I was talking to my sister, and she was very frustrated, and she had the courage to tell me, look, Julia, where does this stop? You know, if you'd been in a natural world, you wouldn't have even known about that biochemical pregnancy. You know, she basically said, you know, you have to find another way to be happy. And it was thanks to her support that I then, there wasn't even an exact moment. I can't think of the exact moment, but then I did decide, okay, I'm stopping now.
I have about 15 seconds left here, Julia. What do you want young women to know? What do you want young women to know about fertility treatment?
Gosh, good question. I wish I had an answer. I mean, just really be inform yourself as much as possible about the world of IVF. And yeah.
Julia Lee.
And my heart goes out to anybody in that world right now.
Julia is the author of Avalanche, A Love Story. She joins me from Sydney, Australia. Julia, thanks for your insight and for your courage to come on and talk about it. I appreciate it.
A pleasure. Thank you.